This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, after a bitter election, how do we overcome deeply personal political divides?
You think Trump is a divider?
Yeah, oh yeah. He's a big promoter of hatred in my eyes.
See, and I don't feel that way at all.
We spend time with one grandmother and granddaughter as they talk through their differences. They also share advice on how to weather the holiday season with family members who have totally different views.
It's not worth dividing a family or ruining a relationship just because we don't agree on something in politics.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
Over the holiday weekend, we learn more about those who will surround President-elect Biden in the White House, even as the current president ramps up his claims of election fraud. Here to analyze it all, our Politics Monday team, Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report and host of Public Radio's Politics with Amy Walter, and Tamara Keith of NPR. She also co-hosts the NPR Politics podcast. Hello to both of you. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Let's talk first about what Joe Biden has done over the last week or so, Amy, putting the teams together. We saw the national security team today. We learned more names from the economics team. We've seen some who are going to be in the White House. Give us a sense of the political forces at play on him at this point.
Yeah. Well, Judy, when I look at the team around him, there's the difference between the team that needs to be Senate confirmed and the team that doesn't. And when you look at the group right now, there are six of them who need Senate confirmation. Of those six, only one of them is a white male. The rest are either female or persons of color. Some are both female and person of color. We also know, though, that this is the first time, certainly in recent memory, that a Democratic president has come into office without having a Democratic Senate. So getting those folks confirmed is going to be a very different story than it was, say, for the last Democratic president. Barack Obama came into office in 2009 with about 57, 59 seats. Yeah. When his confirmation hearings took place. So it's going to be really important for Biden's picks to be able to pick off some Republicans. Some Republicans are going to have to come along. And so we're already seeing that there's one person in particular who's been getting some pushback, at least on Twitter, as well as it seems from at least one Republican senator. And that's Neera Tanden, his pick for the Office of Management and Budget. Also, notably, Judy, in 2016, the OMB seat, which went to Mick Mulvaney, was also one of the most contentious, and Mulvaney only barely won, thanks to the fact that, well, Republicans had 52 seats in the Senate that year.
A good reminder about that. And Tam, I mean, whatever the Republicans do, what about on the Democratic side? I mean, are we seeing how are the fissures, if you will, in the Democratic Party opening up or closing as Biden makes these announcements?
You know, there hasn't been massive amounts of pushback on Biden's picks. Many of these people are widely respected. They may not be as progressive as progressives would want, but they're also not as moderate as some of the people that Biden could have picked. And certainly they are people who are known quantities. To go back to what Amy was talking about with Neera Tanden, the vice president, the president-elect's pick for OMB director, for budget director, she is the one who is generating the most heat both on the left and on the right. And part of that is less about what she stands for, because you know, she currently leads the Center for American Progress. She is certainly has progressive bona fides, but also she very openly feuded with people who supported former Senator Bernie Sanders in 2016. She was very strongly and in an outspoken way behind Hillary Clinton. And that meant that she tangled with people on Twitter. I mean, right now, Republican senators have returned to Capitol Hill and they are starting to talk to reporters. And what every one of them who I've gotten tape of has said is, well, she's been very outspoken on Twitter or something like that. But as Amy said, Senator John Cornyn from Texas said that she's a nominee who would be radioactive. People I know who support her or who back her say that she has a compelling life story. And if she is given a hearing, and that may well depend on Senate control, but if she is given a hearing, they believe that she will perform well and that it would be difficult for Republicans to, as a whole, tank a nominee that has a compelling life story and is, you know, has experience in multiple administrations and much competency.
Great. Well, one thing we are seeing, Amy, for sure, is Joe Biden talked in his campaign about wanting an administration that looks like America. This is so far a pretty diverse cabinet group. And you made the point earlier about cabinet versus the White House. But there is, I mean, we are the first woman of color to head the Council of Economic Advisors and so on.
Right. And the first woman who would be the Secretary of Treasury. We have a communications team that's all female as well. One other thing to point out that I didn't, we don't know control of the Senate right now. So it could still be that Democrats do get control of the Senate. It would be narrowly 50-50. Right. Just wanted to make sure that I noted that. But if it's not, then that's the challenge for what would be then President Biden to win over some Republicans. And I think, quite frankly, Judy, we're going to be spending a lot of time is looking at folks like Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Susan Collins from Maine. They have bucked the president. They've bucked their party, even on Donald Trump's nominees when he first came into office in 2017.
Well, speaking of President Trump, Tam, the president is still insisting on a regular basis that he won the election, that it's only by fraud that Joe Biden's able to rack up these states, even as one state after another certifies the results, certifies that Joe Biden won enough states, enough votes to climb over the necessary 270 electoral votes. My question, though, is what is this saying, though, to American, the people who supported President Trump? They're citizens under the Joe Biden presidency. What is that going to mean for Joe Biden as he tries to pull the country together, which is what he says he wants to do?
Well, that is certainly going to be something that Joe Biden is going to have to work on and something that he has begun working on. If you go back to his Thanksgiving remarks and some of his other public comments, trying to make clear that he sees himself as a president for all Americans. I mean, essentially that is what he ran on as well. The remarkable thing with what is happening with President Trump is there is a reality, there is reality, and then there's what President Trump is doing. And, you know, the professional lawyers who worked on his campaign aren't putting their names on any of these efforts right now to claim fraud or to overturn the election results. It's not the well-known professional lawyers who've worked on campaigns before who are doing this. And as senators are returning from the Thanksgiving break, they're still essentially, the Republican senators aren't calling Joe Biden president-elect, but they're talking about how there is a transition and there is a process and it's moving on. And that's all that matters is that they're moving towards it and that the Electoral College will vote and that this will all be over soon. And so I am detecting more of a sense from Republicans that they have moved on, that they are moving on to a Joe Biden presidency. Now voters, that's a different story.
But just quickly, Amy, these senators may be moving on, but they're still confirming President Trump's nominees for different jobs, and including judgeships.
That's right. I mean, we live in a time, Judy, where, you know, although this has been true for quite some time, I guess, which is don't ever waste political power when you have it. And given how much just in the last 20 years and how quickly power has changed hands, whether control of the Congress or control of the White House, being able to have power and use it when you've got it, knowing that it may be gone any minute now, is where we are. There's a lot of short-term thinking, very little about the long-term institutional success.
We're told first president in a century on his way out the door to be having this kind of benefit from the Senate. We're watching it all. Amy Walter, Tamara Keith, thank you both.
You're welcome.